Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Not a bright spot. This Zach Meisel tweet. Shane Bieber will not start Friday for Akron. He reported soreness after throwing a bullpen session the other day. He met with team doctors and will consult with Dr. Keith Mista, to figure out what's next.
Mista?
Yeah.
That's bad news. We'll find out the extent of it, obviously. But I think a lot of people right now are banking on the idea that he'll come right in and then he'll be one of the key parts of this rotation. And right now we need another piece of the rotation, even though, Ortiz was so good last night. And it feels like between Gavin, between Bybee, the 1-3 is there. But yeah, there's still holes.
I just think like we just had such a good kind of run of positivity here for the Guardians.
After the Ben Lively injury, we've been on a run.
And then, I mean, even Luis Ortiz last night, that's as good as we've seen him here yet, but probably more on the upper side of what he did in Pittsburgh last year. It felt like we were kind of on a roll. This one, and listen, you can infer. I know we're not supposed to infer, but you can infer that he met with team doctors and then decided to consult with the leading Tommy John consultant in America, the guy who I believe did the original Tommy John surgery.
I don't even want to have you guess onto the extent of this, because who would know? How would we know the extent of this? It's just never a good thing when they go back and meet with him again.
Now, it wouldn't surprise me if this just ends up delaying his start. And you know, the truth is, I want to say Shane's got a player option for next year with a $4 million buyout or something like that. There's a pretty strong buyout for him. What will be interesting is there's gonna come a moment where he only has so many starts to base the next year off of and actually opts in. So plus side, downside, if this isn't he needs Tommy John again, if this just costs him some time, you know, for him and his future, the more time he has pitching in the bigs this year, the better for him to secure that next deal and maybe opt out. So I'm just trying to find a needle in a haystack of positivity with this news.
No, and I get it. So this is going to obviously, I mean, we were going to do the option. It's like, is it Slade? Is it Logan Allen? Who's going to fill out the rotation essentially? And now that question kind of goes away for a little bit.
But you know what? Listen, in terms of their overall health of where they're at, they still have John Means, who's also coming back from Tommy John. He's actually coming back from a second Tommy John. They've got Nikhazy, who we saw earlier this year. They've got Parker Messick. So they do still have depth. This isn't like last year where, like, okay, who's the guy in AAA? And you're like, I've never heard of this human being before.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had to sign Matthew Boyd, where you had to sign, you had to make the trade for Alex Cobb just to get through the regular season, let alone get through the postseason, which is when things kind of fell apart. You still do have eight quality arms to kind of make it through the rest of the season. That should be enough where we are right now.
Yeah, but they were building up, and I was going to throw Ortiz into that group because over the past month or so, he's been one of your best pitchers. But like between Ortiz, between Bibee, between Williams, and then if Bieber could come back and be somewhere in that, because they're all in that same little stretch of none of them right now are giving you ace production, but they're all giving you two quality production, you know, like as a number two. And if you had four guys, 1 through 4, that were giving you number two quality in a rotation, like you were going to be very damaging to other teams.
So I agree, but I think my hope is this is just a
minor setback.
We're going to shut you down. We're going to let you, you know, maybe rest your arm. Maybe Shane is a bulldog. Maybe you just pushed it too much. And maybe just maybe this allows you more time with Ciccone and Logan Allen. Because I think Ciccone would be the first guy to go down right now. I got to say, tonight he might just get gassed tonight. Who knows? He's a working project, but man, he's got the stuff. And I hate this comparison because nobody is this guy.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds me of Corey Kluber.
Okay.
Like how Corey was like a late developer, but the stuff was always there. He just needed to come together. I don't think Ciccone will ever be a number one.
No.
But I think he has the stuff to be like a really good, fierce number three. And I think if you put it, a number three becomes your fourth or fifth starter. And by the way, I think he can be that this year. Like, I don't think he's like a guy where it's like, we're going to wait forever for him to fulfill that potential. I think he just needs, big league reps with this company around him.
I like your optimism. I like your optimism.
You're not a big Ciccone guy?
Not really. No.
Why not?
No. He's fine. He's okay.
How dare you?
It's not an
he's
how
better
dare
than
you.
Fine.
It's fine. He's okay.
If he throws a no-hitter tonight, you're going to thank me.
We've seen him pitch, three games or so, somewhere around there, the ERA over 5 in those three games, and that doesn't tell a whole entire story, obviously, but he's fine. He's okay.
So, Shane Bieber.
That would be wild if he threw a no-hitter tonight now.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if the conversation, if he allows, like, 7 earned runs tonight, then what happens with that convo?
This conversation never happened.
We just throw it out.
Yeah, okay. This conversation.
I want to make sure we're all on the same page there.
Yeah, this conversation will self-destruct on the free Odyssey app, which you can download anywhere.
And actually, it does exist for up to 3 days.
Yeah. And, you know, so, like, for instance, my cousin wanted to listen to us talking about her and how hard she punches.
Oh, yeah?
And go back to, let's see, carry the two. Tuesday's open. It's right in there.
Did you call your cousin and like tell her, hey, you got a shout out today?
I've been meaning to text her and be like, you should listen to the first segment of Tuesday's show, but I didn't.
Would she take that as a compliment, the fact that she can hit harder than just about anyone you know?
Yeah, she smiles every time somebody talks about, even her brother.
Oh,
will
this
admit.
Is like the legend of your cousin, that she just hits people really hard.
My cousin Johnny is 6'4", 6'5". He's like 215 pounds, something like that. He'll gleefully admit that his twin punches harder than he does. So he still also punches very
hard. Well,
that's
a twin, though. I feel like you get to, if you have a twin, their success is your success. It's kind of like how you look at your children. Like anything they do, it's like, I'm so proud for them. I want them to be better than me. That's the same thing with, I would imagine, a twin.
I think this proves you don't have a twin. Because I think that can go one of two ways.
We know I don't have a twin. I haven't been hiding that from anyone. If I had a twin,
this could be like,
wouldn't that be a development? 8 years, 9 years into knowing each other? If I was like, yeah, so I have this twin. His name is Jack.
Oh, and by the way,
he does sports radio in Buffalo.
He's been co-hosting with me every other day. He comes in and does the
show.
What
a boondoggle that would be. You're like, we thought you were just bipolar, Jonathan. No, turn out that's your twin.
I would not want a twin of me. I already have Izzy, and she's my doppelganger. She's my... like, she's the kid that most resembles me, and there are days where I'm like, I've had enough of both of us.
If you had a twin, and you, again, your father, two twins, would you feel more accomplishment with their accomplishments or your own?
My own.
Well, because it's weird, right? Because, like, if you have a twin, you have the exact same DNA. And so, I don't know. You'd be like, well, what happened here? How did they end up becoming this, and I became this, if one was wildly more accomplished than the other?
I don't know. I don't know. I've always, okay, most twins.
Same kind of, starting point.
Most twins a little different. That's all I'm going to say. Not bad, just different. And most of my interaction with twins my age that aren't my cousins who are twins, or even younger people like my twins who are twins, Is there just something? There's just something different there. Like, I can't remember their name, but there were these twins in my school in high school, and they were just. There's always some twin thing going on, and I was like, you guys, this is annoying. This is really annoying. They'd just look at each other, and you'd be like, I know exactly what you're thinking. Don't think you're disguising that your little judgment there that you're thinking to each other. Everyone can pick up in your telepathy.
Have your twins, have they created like their own language for themselves or done anything like that?
No, but they have their own rules for themselves.
They should. It's like the cool part about being a twin.
Yeah, they think there's just a lot that they think doesn't apply to them. And it's really funny because they get like really mad. We're like, hey, man. You kind of trashed the living room here. Let's pick some of this stuff up. And they're like, why me? And I'm like, you did it. And they're like, well, but Sophie did it. I'm like, no, you both did it. And but see, that's the thing.
Well,
they
that would
play.
Be annoying. I wouldn't want to take responsibility for like if my twin did it, doesn't mean I did it.
Well, no. The point is, no matter if it's true or not, they just blame it on the other twin.
Yeah, I would probably play a lot of that too.
It's twinning, and I think it's annoying as hell.
Have you taken them to the Twins Fest in Twinsburg?
No, they want to go. We've wanted to go multiple times.
I want to go.
Every single time we've gone to do it, there was some sort of conflict. We couldn't do it. Every single year since we've been back.
This year's got to be the year. It's got to be like late July, somewhere around there.
I think it is.
Can this be the year?
I think it has to be. Because if, you know, once they get into teenage years, they're not going to want to do it. Which maybe makes it funnier.
There's twins of all ages that go to that thing.
Now, while we're talking Gardos, again, Shane Bieber felt a little soreness in his throwing arm in his last bullpen. He's now consulting with the man, Mista Mista, as he's known. I actually think it's Keith Meister, who is the dean of Tommy John right now. So we'll see how that goes. The Bleacher Report suggested trade, which has the Guardians sending Cade Smith, Jason Chorio, and Ralphie Velasquez. So they're number two and I think number five or six prospects to Boston for Jaron Duran. How do we feel about this?
What did Keith Law call it? Laughable?
Laughable from the Boston side.
Yeah. All right, talk me into it. Talk me into why Boston does it.
They get an A-plus closer, two assets to turn around and add another.
So the part of this that I think Keith Law was missing is the idea that Cade Smith would be traded as a closer and not just a reliever.
And not a controllable closer.
Yeah.
A controllable closer.
Because like, he could legitimately close for 27 baseball teams right now.
And what he said that was correct is relievers don't have that kind of trade value. But closers, and again, controllable closers, guys who can give you, and I think Cade's got four more years of control after this, and which I think is similar to what Class A has. If you tried to trade Class A right now, you would get a gigantic haul for him because of the control as much as his dominance.
Yeah.
So I think Smith is interesting. Guardians fans who kind of reacted were like, absolutely not on Cade Smith. And I was like, you come up with a new closer type every other year.
You've got a lot of different guys in, as far as relievers. If you can use a reliever to help get you someone that, you know, all-star, someone that can slug close to 500, a legitimate outfield position player, you do that.
Now, a problem with this trade is the guy you're trading for is a really nice player. He would solve center field. He's not a free agent until 2029. He doesn't really solve your need, which is you've got a bunch of guys who are quite good at contact. You don't have enough guys with pop. Even last year, like his career high is 21 home runs. That's nice. If Stephen Kwan hit that, we'd be over the moon. He'd also be MVP. We'd be over the moon for it. Yeah, I think you need, if you're going to trade, go find me power.
Well, I mean, so again, the slugging was there. I mean, he slugged almost 500, but he just didn't have, it was 21 home runs instead of around 25 to 30, which shouldn't be impossible to find, by the way. Like I don't think you don't have to give up the farm in order to get someone like that. It's just when it comes to
they
him,
they just don't.
They just don't. That's the sad reality. Or maybe they just convince themselves that they'll always be able to find it. But it's been years now, and it just not has materialized the way that they think it would.
Well, and if not for the pitching factory, I do think we would have had changes in this organization because they have brought in every manner, every type of hitter. And just like the power hitters have not worked out. And I don't know, like at some point, I wonder if it's the philosophy, like if they're just screwing up guy. Because again, we saw Nolan Jones immediately go to Colorado, rookie of the year
type
candidate.
Yeah, he was awesome.
We've seen, and now granted, it petered off last year because of injury. Will Benson had a good run.
Two different guys with the last name Diaz leave and be awesome.
And so I just, And honestly, even like picking which prospects to trade and which to not between Yonier Diaz and Junior Caminero, like they're not, the Guardians do not pick the wrong guy to trade in most circumstances, and they have with two of their best hitting prospects out of the Latin operations in the last 5 years.
Yeah, the one with Yandy is the one that bothers me a lot, only because when he got there, he was like, so what big drastic change did you make? He's like, well, I just swung up on the baseball. They told me I need to swing up. They're like, I'm hitting all these hard line drives and all these hard grounders, and they taught me how to do something that legitimately, Nick, people in high school teach that. Like, that's not like an advanced thing with baseball. Swing up, ball goes in the air, ball goes far. And the Guardian just never taught it to him.
I mean, Yandy had like one great year and one really good year. He's kind of been just a dude other than that, though, right?
He was an all-star. Was it 1 year or 2 years?
It was 2023.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was, again, it's still, it's just, it was all based off of that. It didn't change anything else. Like, anything that he's been asked about within his approach to the plate, it's like the Rays were the first team to tell me to swing up on the baseball.
But I wonder if, like, last year they traded for Lane Thomas. And by the way, I think Lane kind of fits. It's not the same. Somebody called Lane and Duran the same guy. That's just not true at all.
It's not true.
Jaron is like an elite leadoff hitter. Like, and honestly, you could put him and Kwan back to back to start the lineup and you'd have your two hole figured out. You just have to deal with the occasional lefty left out of the bullpen. I don't think it mattered to either hitter. I don't think they're going to get the power bat this year in trade because I think that's what they thought they did with Lane Thomas last year. And this year is as competitive as last year was. But that's the one thing Keith Law got right today and what David Sampson got right this morning. Trade for a power bat. And it doesn't have to be, guys, Aaron Judges aren't available. Juan Soto's aren't available. Kyle Schwarber's might be. Like, guys of that ilk who their one tool is just a massive amount of power. So, Shane Bieber, little afraid here. Shane Bieber sat down for a minute here. But Cade Smith and two prospects, your second prospect and your fifth prospect for Jaron Duran. Would you want the Guardians to do that deal? And when we come back, the lone bright spot for the Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on baseball writer for The Athletic, Keith Law. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I believe you're one of the first folks that have, I don't want to say sounded the alarm, but pointed to some early trends in Travis Bezzano's career. How much is his start compared to what we're seeing on the kid from KC, the kid out of Cincinnati, the kid down in Oakland? How much of this is something we should be concerned about with Bezzano?
He should be. There were concerns about the shape of his swing, even in college. And I think that's only increased as we've seen him in pro ball. We've started to see some more swing and miss that pitchers have, particularly ways to attack him. For folks who haven't seen him, it is an extremely steep uphill swing. Generally, we crush guys who swing like that, but he hit so well in college. We do have to be aware there are outliers. Dustin Pedroia is a good example of a guy I was wrong about because I said that swing is never going to work, but he made it work. Was Bezzano a guy who was going to make it work with his unusual swing? I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying now we're starting to see some evidence that maybe he is going to have to make a change because pitchers are exploiting him. And now he's hurt. Now he's going to lose 100, 150 plate appearances to try to make some of those adjustments, which at the very least slows down his timetable.
So what type of drop-off are we talking about here? If he's now the 25th best, that still has a chance to be a very good, very good major league player, all things considered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not jumping ship. I didn't sort of take him off. So this is, I had a top 50 prospects update last week. I did not make a lot of significant changes. A few guys fell off because they're hurt or they've been particularly bad. Hagen Smith was picked fifth last year. He's walking almost 20% of the batters he's facing so far in AA. Like, that's extremely alarming. Whereas with Bezzano, more, okay, maybe he's not as good as we thought he was. Maybe he's just a good everyday player. I mean, the second question is, coming out of college, and I'm really talking to scouts, but it's front office people too, is he'll stay at second base. He's not going to be in the great shakes there, but he'll stay at second base. There's been a consistent rumor now since March that the Guardians are considering moving him to left field. Folks think he's going to have to play to left field. He's just not going to even be rangy enough to stick at second. So your worst case scenario, and I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, the worst case scenario is he has to move to left field and he's not as good of a hitter as we thought he was. That's a problem. That is where all of this goes wrong. And you could start saying, okay, maybe they took the wrong guy there. We don't understand if there's hindsight involved in that. But if he stays at second base and isn't quite as good of a hitter, that's still a solid everyday player. If he goes to left field, but he turns back into the hitter he was at Oregon State, that's still a really good player. So there are lots of ways this could still end up working out for Cleveland.
Keith Law on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The lineup in Cleveland, the big numbers don't look great, but if you watch them every day, there's a lot of guys that kind of are getting going here. And so it really looks like right field and maybe the two hole are the biggest issues with the lineup. You look at AAA. We're talking Chase DeLauder. We're talking Kafis. We're talking Juan Brito. Of those three guys, who might be in the best position to really help jumpstart the Guardians' offense if they're healthy and ready to be called up?
You know, DeLauder, the whole issue is he healthy? I mean, we may have even talked before. I've talked a lot about I have issues with his swing, too. And Cleveland obviously doesn't care a lot about swing mechanics when they're drafting players. But DeLauder's had success pretty much up through AAA whenever he's been healthy. He's just never healthy. So if he's completely healthy and has had enough of a runway in AAA this year, he's the guy I would be most inclined to call up. Kafis, I think he can hit. I'm a little surprised at the amount of power he's shown so far this year. I have never seen him anywhere but first base, and I'd be a little shocked if he could handle right field. I have some hesitation there. Whereas Brito, probably, I mean, he might be an everyday player at an infield position. More likely, if you're calling him up, it's some kind of utility super sub role where you're moving him around, but not enough bat to really be a solution in right field, recognizing they're not getting anything from right field as it is.
What happens in those type of situations where, like, Juan Brito always got comped as, like, what he looked very similar to J-Ram, Jose Ramirez, and then when J-Ram actually got to the big leagues, it was a completely different story. But up until that point, yep, he was just kind of perceived to be just kind of basically what Juan Brito is perceived to be right now. And, like, how does that happen where someone goes from there to there?
I can say specifically with Ramirez, I had him as a pretty good prospect. But of course, he should have been a top 10 prospect in baseball, right? I was way, way light on him. But nobody ever thought he was going to develop the kind of power he has. And I mean, you just look at him, right? No offense, but I'm pretty short, so I can make fun of how these guys look. Like, he doesn't look like a power hitter at all. Whereas with Brito, he has shown some of that power in AAA, but I think some of the power comes at a cost of the thing he does well, which is the ability to hit and ability to get on base. I think his challenge is going to be doing all of that at the same time in the big leagues. But I think kind of whichever way he goes, he's going to be an everyday player somewhere on the dirt if that's where they choose to use him ultimately. I noticed they've moved him around a ton since he's gotten to AAA, where I think it's sort of, we don't know where we're going to need this guy, so let's try him everywhere so that wherever we have to call him up, we can plug him in. Actually, as I look at it, he hasn't played right field this year. I guess we played 19 games there last year. That's not nothing. I don't know if there's really enough bat for that, but you know, at least if he's got experience there, and if they decide he's looked good enough, it's not going to be hard for him to out-hit Nolan Jones and take the right field job.
Keith, another outlet here, Bleach Report Walkoff, proposed this trade. And we don't do tradio often with the Guardians because you just never really know what they'll actually do and what they won't do, what they can afford, what they're willing to give up. But the proposal is the Guardians getting Jaron Duren of Boston and then sending Cade Smith, Jason Chourio, and Ralphie Velasquez to Boston. I'll ask you, in this scenario, who do you think is more likely to say no, Cleveland or Boston?
Oh, the Red Sox, they laugh at that. That's not even, yeah, that is a fan came up with that, right? That is not happening at all. Yeah, I mean, relievers, Cade Smith, obviously he was a great reliever last year, but relievers don't have a ton of trade value. And Ralphie Velasquez might not be any good. The reports I've gotten, he's not hitting this year. The reports I got on him just from scouts who've seen him this year, I saw him in spring training. He looked kind of the same, but he's looked really bad this year. And I like Chourio. I do. I think Chourio is a great prospect. He's on the top 100. That's not getting you. Jaron Duren's top 10 player in the league when he's fully healthy. I don't see any way that deal happens.
What do you make of this Guardians team as a whole right now? As we're trying to figure out, you know, we had the morning show here at David Sampson on earlier today, and he's like, everything the Guardians have done is just a, it's just a mirage right now. Do you fall in line with that line of thinking, or do you feel like there is something more here?
I might be a little overstating the case. You know, a little bit above 500. They've been outscored on the season. That would typically, but by a little bit, that would typically mean a team slightly below 500. I think you could sort of bridge that gap by saying they just generally got an above average bullpen. It's not elite. They were never going to repeat last year's bullpen, right? That was just never, last year's bullpen was historic. That wasn't coming back. They've got good starting pitching. They've got a pretty good bullpen. They need to address the offense, and they have just generally not done so. They've not gone outside the organization for much offense. They have not had great success developing their own, particularly their own power hitters. I think this is a team, if they do nothing, if they just kind of stay where they are, if they finish the year 82, 83 wins, probably end up missing the playoffs. They have an opportunity to try to go upgrade the offense, particularly just like I said, just going to find some power. Whether it's internal or probably a little internal, a little external, that might be enough for them to end up back in the playoffs this year, even without the elite bullpen, which was kind of, you know, I thought last year was fluky, but they had an elite bullpen and got a little lucky in some of those close games, and that was more than enough for them to run away with the division.
Tigers, Twins, Guardians, Royals. How do you rank those four teams in the AL Central?
I would have had Cleveland... Gosh, they are basically dead tied in the standings right now with Minnesota. Minnesota's lost their best starter for 2-3 months. He's got a tear in his Terry's major muscle. You see that Lopez may not pitch again this year. That's entirely possible. So I would say Cleveland's probably second in the division. I mean, Detroit's, they got the best record in baseball. It's hard to tear them down too much. I do look at them and wonder, that's not real, right? They're not a 660 winning percentage team going forward. But they're six games up, and they are probably a 90-plus win team. In terms of the rest of the season, and Detroit has a better farm system. They could go out and make a bigger acquisition. And I think they will. I think they're going to seize the opportunity and try to upgrade, which just puts a little more pressure on Cleveland to try to do something to keep pace, whatever it is. So Cleveland has to do something to address the offense. I think it's too many years of them not taking that kind of affirmative step to say, we're going to go get a power bat. It's the thing they need the most. It's generally not that hard to find. It's not like they're trying to find an ace starting pitcher, which obviously is very difficult to find in the trade market.
Did you like the aggressiveness by Kansas City in calling up Caglione?
I did and I didn't. Like, I love them. I do prospects, right? That's what I write about. It's what I live. Of course I like seeing these guys get to the big leagues. He was in AAA for about 20 minutes, I think. And I do have concerns. He had made real adjustments just since last year. I have a ton of history seeing that guy, and just seeing him this year and going through the data from AA, he is better. But you can get this guy to expand the zone, and he didn't even stay in AAA long enough for them to exploit him, and I think that's what's going to happen. He's going to struggle. He's going to hit a ball 118 miles an hour also, but there's going to be some ugly swing and miss, and I hope they just have the patience to stay with him. You're up now, and just tell him, you're up for the summer. We are not sending you back down. Even if you're hitting .140, it's fine. You're a Kansas City Royal. We brought you up to stay. Because I think the worst thing you can do in those situations, when the kid has two bad weeks, like, all right, now you're back down to the minors. And it's in his head. Every 0-for-4, every 3-strikeout night, oh, I'm going back to the minors again.
Keith, great stuff, man. Really do appreciate your time. We hope you're wrong about Bizana, but we do appreciate your time, bud. Thank you so much.
Yep, my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Keith Law there of The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sounds like we got some breaking news.
Yeah, Jerry Dulac, of course, covers the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers has informed the Steelers he plans to sign a contract and attend minicamp next week.
Look at that.
So Aaron Rodgers has finally made it.
All right, so we will put a pin in talking about what Keith Law was just talking with us, but it's interesting, like, I just have thought the whole, like, the frustrating thing where people were like, you're really going to go into the season with Mason Rudolph as your starting quarterback? I always thought that was dumb. I thought, like, the later we got into this, I think it was just apparent that Aaron didn't want to go to mini camps. And no, he wasn't going to go to mini camps, the voluntary portion, and he didn't want to have people get upset with him about it the way it happened last year with the Jets. So this was Aaron's way of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, covering his butt, while also making sure he didn't have to go to voluntary minicamps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised, though, he at least made it to the mandatory portion. I thought he was going to, at this point, I thought he was going to hold out a little bit longer, but maybe he's recognizing there's a lot of time missed.
Oh, I think it's interesting. Like, thinking back to, like, Baker getting traded, I want to say on 4th of July weekend 3 years ago, I thought that was the moment he was DOA in a bad situation in Carolina, because that's really, really hard. If you have, I mean, less than half an offseason, if you've got 33% of an offseason, no matter whether you're Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, Joe Flacco, like, it's just so hard. The NFL's so competitive. I always thought mandatory minicamps is where maybe he would make sense to sign.
Well, because the deadline that Tomlin had put out wasn't that. And so at this point, if he didn't sign in April, I was like, maybe he'll just wait until that actual deadline that Tomlin was like, well, we got to go with Mason Rudolph. I think what he saw was the chatter around not only Pittsburgh, but some of the Pittsburgh radio stations as well. Again, the 93.7, the fan poll out there said what? It was like, who do you want to start, Mason Rudolph or Aaron Rodgers? The fans voted Mason Rudolph. They got tired of Aaron Rodgers and the prospect of it. They were annoyed by it.
You think that got in his dome?
Maybe. Like, wait a second. They want Mason Rudolph over me? Maybe I need to stop tugging them around and maybe actually show up and try to be a real quarterback.
I can't really refute you just because Aaron clearly cared about the press coverage last year about going to voluntary minicamps.
He cares about this stuff in a way that most people just don't.
The idea that you would be in any way threatened by mustache Mason Rudolph. Oh my God. I'd love to see that. So-and-so. I'd love to see the face when he finds out definitively Aaron Rodgers is coming. I'd love to know that.
Did you hear the comments from Big Ben yesterday?
No.
Yesterday, Big Ben went on this whole tirade about, like, trying to bury the hatchet between him and Mason Rudolph. He went down a whole Joe Flacco thing. He's like, I appreciate what Joe Flacco is doing in his approach. Because I remember, like, 2018, Big Ben went on this whole rant about how he was very confused as to why they drafted Mason Rudolph. He's like, it makes no sense. We need weapons. Why are you taking a quarterback? I'm the quarterback. You're not helping me out at all. And so there's always this feud between the two of them that existed. And yesterday he's like, no, I'm supporting Mason Rudolph. Like, I want to be in his corner. And I wonder if Rodgers is like, oh man. Even Big Ben is turning on me over here. Like, I need to figure this out before I lose everyone.
All right, I think Big Ben's more opportunistic than that. I think Big Ben probably was like, man, this kid's going to lose it. I'm going to look really good if I do this.
I think Big Ben actually thought that Mason Rudolph was going to be the quarterback.
I do think, by the way, I'm like, okay, Mason Rudolph, soft. Like, does not like criticism, bit of a baby. Ben Roethlisberger, soft. Bit of a baby, doesn't like criticism. Aaron Rodgers. Maybe we've been wrong about, like, for a long time I've thought the Mike Tomlin's quarterback type was big and dumb.
Yeah, which tracks with Mason Rudolph and Big Ben.
But now maybe he just likes, like, emotionally sensitive man babies who are just wildly sensitive in a myriad of ways.
He's always had the googly eyes, the Adam Gase googly eyes for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's wild to me that the reception around Pittsburgh, I bet, is a mixed bag at this point, based off of how much Aaron Rodgers has dragged this thing on.
Can I tell you, I might be ready to upset the apple cart and maybe change my expectations for the Steelers.
Really?
Or do we want to do that here? Or do we want to do it coming back?
No, do it coming back.
Because I think Browns fans, I think there's a lot of you out there laughing right now. I think there's a lot. Oh, what a joke. He finally signed. That the Aaron Russell Wilson 2.0. I don't think you're like my prediction. 216-474-0092. Aaron Rodgers has informed the Steelers he's actually going to come to work now and be a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just curious, like, what do you guys think this means for the Browns? What do you think this means for the AFC North? I'll tell you about that coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Outstanding stuff from David Sampson on the Guardians and their future. He's the host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson. Should I be mad about what he said? Or should I just accept this as
the
truth?
Well, the numbers are the numbers. Like, we've brought that up here and there that, you know, especially a few weeks ago before this pitching really turned around, that I was saying, man, on paper, this is not a good team. But now, given Gavin Williams seems to be getting better.
Yeah.
Bybee seems to be getting better. You're getting Bieber. And then what in the world are we seeing most recently by Ortiz? Like, this is getting pretty exciting to me that this has more staying power than I think I thought it had about 3 weeks ago.
Well, it should. Oh, go ahead.
They're 7 games worse than they were at this time last year. They were 40-20 last year. They played 500 ball after that, right? I think they still ended like 20 or 21 games over 500. That's it. I get what he's saying about the run differential, and maybe it's a mirage there, but I think they are who they are, and I think they're going to... I mean, they're still going to win 80-something games.
Yes. Well, he says...
I don't think they're... You're telling me they're only going to win 40 of their next 100 games? Like, that's hard for me to believe.
I think they would have to have a lot of injuries if something like that were to happen. Right. And they've already dealt with a few,
this
but everybody deals with...
This is not football where you throw in the towel at the end.
No, this isn't. I agree with you, Owen. I think they've overperformed, but also I can... Record-wise, they've overperformed according to what David Sampson is saying.
Franchise.
But I also believe that you haven't seen the best of Tanner Bibee so far. You haven't seen the best of Gavin Williams so far. You're just starting to blossom and flower what you could get from Luis Ortiz, and that was certainly apparent last night from what you saw him. He has looked better. Emmanuel Clase, he started off the season, oddly enough, rough, and now he's certainly settled down and been in a better position. You can't guarantee bullpens, but if you look at just what they've done here over the last few weeks, Nolan Jones, I ripped him up and down for putting Nolan Jones at second in the batting order, and I probably still would. Nolan Jones is later in the batting order. Last week was fantastic. By the way, Jonathan Peterlin, I know he pays attention to what we're giving him credit for. Give him credit. He was defending Nolan Jones like crazy. I'd like to see Jonkenzie Noel do better, but maybe he will do better as time goes on. So they've done a lot to make me believe that they will be there. Will they make the moves of what people want? I don't think so. But David says a great reason about that is because they add on the margins and you do your best work at the trade deadline on the margins. is that always going to work with the fan base? That becomes a conversation that we've had way too often. And every conversation turns into that, and I don't really want to have it right now. If you're just sticking to what they're doing or what they've done and what they could do, there should be a great deal of optimism as long as things get to a level and then can stay there and we don't go back into the toilet with Nolan Jones. I don't have another situation where we're asking, well, is this guy the next Tristan McKenzie? You know, I don't want to have any of that. And damn it, if we are going to talk about the business of baseball, how can I disagree with what David Sampson said about the situation with the Royals? And then I have to tell Jeff that Jeff Phelps was right with Travis Bezzano. Do you believe that Travis Bezzano would be the help to put this team over the hump in 2025? You can't say yes. And I know you've said it before with Francisco Lindor. Yeah, but I'm saying if he were healthy, I was thinking, well, we'll probably see him September somewhere in there. And I remember you bringing it up that the year they missed the playoffs 1 year, right before Francisco Lindor comes up, and you're thinking if Francisco Lindor came up, he might have helped them be able to get to the playoffs. Especially, I think that's an awful lot to put on a young man.
Especially because I always assumed they were going to lose him early anyway.
And I think that that's what he's saying, so you want to have as much as you can, because they have paid Bobby Witt Jr. an immense amount of money. Like, we have paid Jose Ramirez less, but to us, an immense amount of money. Now you have to be very careful with whoever else you pay. They have to be very careful with their payments, and we have to be very careful with our salaries as well. And it's an inconvenient, annoying truth that, yeah, you know what? An oblique strain for Travis Bezzano might have just saved you a little bit. A little bit. Because if they're able to keep their heads above water without Travis Bezzano.
Because fans don't care about that.
No, they don't.
But listening to David Sampson, he's clearly talking from a team perspective. Yeah. Like, if you had to run the Guardians, of course, your goal, like a lot of businesses, like all businesses in America, is pay the most talented people you can, the absolute least you can pay them, as long as you can keep them, or at least try to keep them. Mm-hmm. That's the goal of every company, you know, is you want your employees to be happy, but you really want to be able to pay them the least that you can possibly pay them. And that's the goal of the Guardians, especially considering their financial constraints, which about 25 teams in Major League Baseball have.
This call better be good because I accidentally promoted it. Demos and Shaker, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? Listen, I want to, you know, everything you're talking about here is the analytics of baseball, and that's an actual, you know, it's written out, the dates, the times, things like that. So the fact that he, you know, had a little more insight into that, you know, you can't, Tony, know everything, even if you act like it. And speaking of acting like he knows everything, if Tony thinks that the NBA, a worldwide brand, somehow doesn't have a small army of analytics folks figuring out how to maximize the audience for the NBA finals, for the worldwide audience, okay, not for your buddies waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym who might be a little groggy, okay, then you're just not looking at this thing in a realistic, modern way. Sorry.
Tell him, Tone.
So why?
Tell him why he's wrong.
Why has it been proven that the biggest window for the NFL is at 4:25, and why is the Super Bowl at 6:30? Then why don't they follow the NBA model? Why is it the Super Bowl at 8:30 at night?
NBA's got 2.5 billion worldwide audience, including a lot of people in China. NFL with the Super Bowl, even the Super Bowl is a tiny fraction of that. This is for the American audience. And football is, and NBA is for a worldwide audience. So
you're saying they're international. You're saying they're catering more to the international viewers than they are the local.
Everybody, Tony, they're catering to everybody, and they're trying to maximize the audience.
Right, but are they? The question is, are they doing that effectively? And when they have 50% of the viewers are in the Eastern time zone, 75% are in the Central, as well as if you add the Eastern time zone.
How many are in China?
But what is the TV deal in China compared to what it is domestically?
Why don't you look that up?
Why don't you look it up? You're the one that called. You're the one that was complaining and saying
numbers.
I was wrong. So
Tony,
I have the data in front of me.
Numbers.
You tell me, what is it in Madagascar? Okay. What is it in Afghanistan?
Zero.
Give me the numbers.
Zero.
Okay. You're telling me if Osama bin Laden wasn't watching the NBA Finals?
No way.
And now he's gone. And so are you.
He was very tall. He probably was.
He was tall. He probably had dreams of two things.
He has not been able to
watch the NBA finals for a long time.
He has not been able to watch the finals for a long time. John Cena told me so.
You know they were watching other things that me and you enjoy watching. That's one thing they found. There's a great documentary right now that's on Netflix.
We went from the NBA to Osama bin Laden in three moves. We had a lot more in common than I think people understood. I didn't see that documentary yet. Don't give it away.
Okay.
Does any of it involve Sarah J?
No.
A legendary actress. Mike and Illyria.
Hello, Mike.
Follow that up, bud.
Hey, you ain't kidding. Hey, you know what? I want to talk about this last guest that you had. I got some problems with what he said. And
Please don't take away what I'm about to say at 9:45. I'm begging you, please.
Well, listen, here's the thing. First of all, I'm very glad that you pointed out that he's coming at this from the perspective of a team, okay? Because, secondly... Okay, you could sit there and you could say, you know, well, this on the numbers on this team says they're only going to win 75 games or whatever. That's just a bunch of garbage already. You know what? Look at what's happening on the field. They're winning games. That's all that matters. You talk about their record this year versus last year. Take a look at their record, and you could look this up. Their record right now is exactly what it was in 2016 when they went to the World Series. Now, when we talk about spending money, though, and we talk about, they're smart when they spend money. They're frugal. They know who to pay. I always thought the bottom line was, did you win the World Series? Not did you make the playoffs? Okay. We have not won the World Series, so they're not that smart. And you know, when you talk about, and I know you're going to say, well, everybody can't win the World Series, but that's the goal. Sorry. That's the goal. That's what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to make the playoffs 6 out of 10 years or 7 out of 10 years. We would like to keep some players that are good instead of letting them all walk, too. And you can't tell me that they're not making money down there that they can't spend.
Well, this is what sucks here. If we were talking Browns or Cavs for this matter, I would totally agree with you, Mike. But we are talking about baseball, and Lima is right. Owners... they would like to win. They want to make money. And the business of it is right in our face.
I really wish you would have talked to him about and asked him about the whole system of baseball, how it's broke, how the Dodgers can go spend $1 billion. And that does not happen in the NFL and the NBA.
Mike,
that's why those two leagues are better.
Mike, I'll tell you this, and I thank you very much for the call, but I got to admit to you, I'm so tired of having that conversation. It turns into the same thing every time. And it just turns into how cheap the owner is.
Honestly, it kind of does. And I think most people that want to love baseball, I mean, it's already, by the way, the economics of baseball have turned a ton of people off. I think a lot of people just say, I'm not going to watch it. Why when you have such
inequality? What's the point of being a Pirates fan? I want to ask people, what's the point of being a Pirates fan? He made his first start just over a calendar year ago. They were talking about trading him. Yep. The general manager had to answer questions about trading Paul Skeens.
I mean, Kenny Atkinson won Coach of the Year. Kenny's trying to trade him.
I'm not trying to trade Kenny Atkinson. I didn't put him on the Bovada odds.
You asked about draft pick compensation, if they could get it.
Oh, yeah, he did, actually. He specifically asked about draft compensation. Yeah. That's right. You asked if I could trade.
That's part of my job. I'm supposed to. No, I'm not going to get worked into a shoot by you guys. You guys both go to hell. No. I almost said something I had to dump to you guys. President said in a speech once about both of you. Both of you two.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Let's welcome in David Sampson, former Marlins president, CBS Sports, also the host of the Nothing Personal with David Sampson show. He's always on Levitard show. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. David, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. I know Lima's going to ask you the story about how you got the Marlins Stadium built, because we're getting stadiums built here in Northeast Ohio right now when it comes to the Browns and everything else. You had a big rant on what the Royals are doing with a call-up. And it reminds me of, I got upset with something a couple of weeks ago where, like, there were some people, they seemed to be almost giddy that, not because Travis Bezzano was injured, but that they can't call him up now because he's going to be out for 2 months. There's too much time. They wouldn't be able to really call him up and give him a fair shot at getting his feet wet in Major League Baseball until next year. And I imagine you think that that's probably a good thing, where I was like, man, I don't get to see what I want to see.
Well, I've always been a fan of pitchers getting Tommy John when they're not on the major league roster. So that means they're not getting service time, and we're not losing the opportunity to have players outperform their contracts. Because as you know, in any sport, the better young players, the better your cheap players are, the better chance you have to win. Mm-hmm. Of course, you don't wish anyone to get injured. And this whole Royals thing, my God, do people not understand the business of baseball? It's incredible to me, because I in no way was saying I don't want to see Jack play baseball. What I'm saying is, if you're going to call him up in April. You don't call him up the first week of June, because you're only 2 weeks away from saving a full year at the minimum salary. Now he's going to be arbitration eligible a full year earlier than he would have been. And what that means is you are going to be paying him millions of dollars more than you would have. And what people said to me is, David, you prize fool, this is an all-star player. And my answer is, exactly. If I thought he was a schnook, then who cares when you bring him up, because he'd have spotty service time and it wouldn't matter anyway. But if you've got a superstar, you've got to manage your payroll. And if you're the Royals and you are not the Dodgers, you've got to pay close attention to whether you can pay a player $800,000 or $5 million, because it matters. And then it matters the next year. So think about the multi-millions of dollars that the Royals could cost themselves for an extra 2 weeks. And the answer is, oh, but this is a team that wants to win. We've got the best owner, the best GM. I love this team. And I said, well, wait a minute. it's going to be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, so fast your head will spin, and other roster decisions will have to be made where you will lose another player who you can't afford because of this two-week period. You sure as heck fire better have a damn good 2 weeks, or this was a total waste. And for me, that is a bet you wouldn't make. And I'm the guy who brought up Cabrera in June, waited till we got the extra year out of him, won the World Series, and ended up saving millions of dollars by having him perform for an extra year at a smaller salary. And it works that way. But man, were people upset.
I hate hearing it, but it's the truth, David. I hate it.
Yeah, David, is there a lever? I know the CBA, obviously, the strength in the players' union has always been apparent. We talk about this in sports all the time. But is there any way to make this a much simpler process? We talk about all the different types of, you know, contractual obligations and the fact that fans have to sit here and debate whether or not a player should get brought up in June or in April and service time. That's just not something like the NBA or the NFL, they concern their fans with.
Well, again, it's a totally different model in those other leagues because there's salary cap leagues and there's rookie contracts that are slotted. And so you actually know what you pay your rookies, let's say where they're drafted in the NFL is according to what their rookie deals are and who gets the 50-year option, who doesn't, et cetera. But yeah, it is dealt with in Major League Baseball. If you finish first or second in rookie of the year, it doesn't matter when you're called up, you get a full year of service time. And what that was meant to do was change the behavior of teams. It was meant to say, bring up your best player, because if you wait till June and he wins Rookie of the Year, then you're going to have to pay him as though he was there since April, so you might as well just have him there since April. And I understand why the players thought that was a big victory. And then Tatis was brought up to start a season, and there were a bunch of young players who made rosters out of opening day, and everyone celebrated how great the CBA is working because we all get to see young players earlier. But those were the exceptions, not the rules. The service time manipulation is still very much going on because manipulation gets a bad rap. We all get manipulated in every business. We get manipulated by the placement of products in the grocery store, by the buy now on Amazon. Hey, people who buy this also buy that. Guess what? That's manipulation. We are being manipulated every day. And instead of fighting it, I try to embrace it and say, well, that's true. I did need an extra set of candlestick holders.
David Sampson, I love the psychology he brings to the table here. All right, so the Guardians, they win a game yesterday against the Yankees. They're 6 games above 500. If the season were to end today, they're a playoff team again, despite the fact they had roughly $40 to $50 million less to spend on their roster thanks to the lack of a robust regional network TV deal. So we're paying attention to this throughout baseball, how the business is going to work without the regional model. Every day, not a day goes by, David, we don't get a call from fans talking about how cheap ownership is because they're not spending on the roster. But can you see why the Guardians say, yeah, why would we? We can, in this division, go to the playoffs every year and have a crack at it.
Well, I'm very sensitive to this because I love Cleveland and I love your fan base and I love your front office. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but your record of, I believe you're 33-27, I'm afraid it's a bit of a mirage. And when you look at the underlying factors, which we look at in front offices, both run differential, where Cleveland is negative right now, which means that in general you'd be below 500. And two, you look at where you are in pitching and run scored and average, and you guys are toward the bottom of the American League, like ranked below 9th, 10th, or 11th in the league in those hugely important statistical categories. To me, that all adds up to, over the course of a season, a team that wins 75 games, not a team that competes for a wild card spot. The interesting part is that at some point in the season, you pay attention to record more than the underlying stats, and you say this could be the anomaly season. And you go into the trade deadline having to make a really tough decision as a front office. Do we believe in the record enough to actually add to the team and attempt to get over the hump and get into October? Or do we believe that over 162 games, the regression to the reality of the stats will happen? And I think that is the conversation that's going on right now in your front office, is how to react to where the Guardians are currently.
Historically, they haven't really been a big buyer at the trade deadline. Like, and I don't know. It depends on what your definition of big buyers are, things like that. I mean, some people might disagree. Do you think that this would be a front office, or this would be a year, say they were still 7 games above 500 by the time the trade deadline comes around? Are they guys who, are they a team that brings people in, or do they stand pat and say, hey, the guys we brought off the IL, those are the ones that are going to help us out?
No, you add at the margins. And people, this is a whole funny thing we do in the media. Who won the deadline? Who lost the deadline? Who are the buyers? Who are the sellers? That's not ever how we talk in a real front office. Go back to 2021 with the Braves. They won the World Series. People may not remember, they were crushed at the deadline because they were the losers. They brought in Soler and Duvall and Rosario. Those aren't big names. Guess what? Those three guys helped them win a darn World Series. So it's not always about getting the best available pitcher or the best available hitter at the deadline or the most expensive one or spending money. It's about being a good front office. I repeat, you don't need to be a good front office person who goes to your owner and says, you know what I would do? I would sign Ohtani. Well, really? My gardener would tell me that. And nothing against my gardener, who's really smart about baseball. What I would tell you is I want a front office who finds me value, who finds me players, who signs a starting pitcher like a Seth Lugo. Look at what Kansas City did. Well, that was a mediocre signing of a number 7 starter. Guess what? Turned out to be amazing at that price. That's where you add value. And I've always believed in the Cleveland front office as being smarter than the rest. And so I don't ever expect them to be on the winner's side of a deadline, except at the end when it turns out the players they identified are the good players. And they get every benefit of my doubt when they trade a player away who you'd say, man, how can you trade that player and get better? People, when they traded Lindor, what a nightmare. We can't possibly be good without Lindor. Well, guess what? You've been just fine. So I think the Guardians will add if they're still bucking the statistical trends, but man, there's a lot of green to cover before July 31st.
David Sampson with us on the show. You like the Guardians front office. I assume you also like their manager or their owner, Paul Dolan.
I do know Paul well, and he is someone, we get a bad rap in front offices when our payrolls aren't high because there's some correlation made between the size of your payroll and the amount you want to win. And I've not exactly understood that before. Why not accept like winning teams like the way Tampa does it? Why would they not sell out? Why would they not have a hugely successful fan base? They've been so good for so long, the belle of the ball. And yet what people like are you spend a lot of money but don't win. But hey, that was nice of you. You spent the money. I've always been a consequentialist. I want to win. And to me, what Cleveland's done year after year is they recognize their windows of competing and competitiveness, and they win during those windows. And that's – now, they haven't gotten the World Series, I grant you, but, man, they've been successful, so of course I love them.
All right, David Sampson joining us, somebody that with the Marlins, one of the architects of selling the public on public financing for a stadium deal. So given your expertise – in that realm, now that you're on the other side of it, you're in the media, but still have those business connections. Can you say once and for all, David, whether or not there truly is an economic benefit? We've seen all the studies that have been done, but is there a benefit for those taxpayers?
The problem is you're setting me up. So the question there is I can find a study that shows you there's a great benefit because I commissioned one of those. I can also find you a study that says there's no benefit because I had one of those commissioned against me. And they're both right. And the reality is that some ballparks work as a way to generate economic development and some don't. And it's not based on attendance, actually. It's based on ancillary development around the ballpark. It's based on what else is going on in your particular city. Don't forget the government's job. Their job isn't to run at a profit. Their job is to provide services to the citizens of that community. And my argument has always been that much like a park where you can go running and biking or a museum where you can learn about art or nature or science, having professional sports is yet another arrow in the quiver of lifestyle. And I believe you're either a major league city or you're not. I believe you're either a city that has professional sports teams or you're not. And for me, I've always said to the public officials, you want to be a big league city, you've got to have a big league team. To do that, you've got to play under the rules. And the rules are you put money into these projects, much like you do with your museums and your parks and your infrastructure. To me, it's always been the same thing. The difference that people have made, to me, their argument is, but wait a minute, those are teams are owned by rich people and billionaires, and they get to profit off this. Well, guess what? Cleveland, as an example, every city, as an example, gives money to private businesses to do business in their community every single day. Tax benefits, infrastructure improvements, technological improvements, all the time on the house in order to be a community that is attractive to business, attractive to pleasure. It is normal operating, so I never understood the anti-stadium argument.
Well, the Haslams have a stadium right now, owned by the county and the city, right on the lakefront. But, you know, it was rushed built in 1999 for football. They are now looking to stay in the county but change communities over to Brook Park. They're asking for $1.2 billion in addition to the money they're going to throw for development, for real estate, all those mixed-use purposes. But they're going to the taxpayers during a very difficult time. Of course, it's always going to be a difficult time.
I was just going to say, is there ever not a difficult time?
So does it make sense? Can we justify going to the taxpayers for something like this? Of course, the Haslam say the project will pay for itself throughout all the different types of taxes down the road. So is that a good bet for the people in the region?
It would make your eyes water if you went line by line in your state and city budget and county budget with stuff that was being used by taxpayer money. It would literally make your eyes water. And that doesn't mean that Cleveland's alone. It's every single town, village, city, state, country in the world. We call it pork in the budget, which is funny as I'm Jewish and I don't eat pork. But what it's meant to mean is that there's stuff that many people would consider a waste. But it's part of how governments function. It's part of how communities function. So I always hesitate to go at like what Doge did, where they're just taking, you know, a blowtorch to things, not understanding the consequences. If you lose the Cleveland Browns, notwithstanding all of the mess that was created by Haslam and continues to be created with Watson and everything else, but if you lose your football team, go back to communities who lose their teams. It's very easy for you to do that. Here's the thing. You always end up paying more to get it back than you would have to have it stay. And the argument that, oh, it's going to a different county, it's leaving downtown, it's different world now in terms of urban sprawl, in terms of ancillary development, in terms of a desire to have more land that doesn't necessarily exist in a city center. What Cleveland is going through is what other cities go through. For crying out loud, look where the Giants and Jets play. They play in East Rutherford. That is not near New York City, but guess what? That's where the stadium is. That's where people go. That's where New Meadowlands was built. Go look at where the Cowboys play. Go look at where the Giants play, the Niners in San Francisco. It is not uncommon to have a football stadium where you go to 10 times a year, plus a couple concerts here and there, not in downtown proper. Look what the Bears are trying to do in Arlington, which is well outside of downtown Chicago. So I really find it all to be quite normal.
David Sampson, David P. Sampson on Twitter. He's on CBS Sports. He hosts the Nothing Personal with David Sampson show. David, thank you very much for the time. Outstanding.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thank you.
Much to the delight of the gentleman who joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he has dugout discussions. He's with John Boy Media. He's Mr. Chris Rose, NFL Network. Hello, Chris. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
Hi, guys. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun watching them. Obviously, Tennessee's ridiculous. But yeah. In the do-or-die game against Wake Forest, it was amazing because one of the kids that I coached when he was 6 or 7, he played with my youngest son in the same little league out here, and he ended up pitching against my alma mater. So I texted his parents. I was like, I cannot believe that Duncan is pitching against my school. It was crazy. It was really fun to watch.
Nice.
Who were you rooting for?
I was rooting for the kid.
You got to. Okay, I was glad you said that. All right.
Yeah, good man. Come on. Yeah. I coached him. And
he overcame and still went to Tennessee.
No, he went to Wake Forest.
Or to Wake, excuse me.
Yes.
Good for him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he struggled a little bit against Tennessee as well. But he's a freshman. He throws 97. He's all right.
And you might need him for dugout discussion someday.
I told him. See? I told his parents, make sure that when it's time that he doesn't big league me.
That's awesome. Hey, last segment, we were giving Rob Manfred credit. And we were giving him credit for this. He did some rule change ideas implemented by Major League Baseball that I think at the time a lot of us thought, man, how's that going to work? That might blah, 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 might not be a good idea. Three batter minimum, bigger bases. I think people were wondering about how would that work. Restricting the shift, pitch clock, of course. And, you know, we're still not crazy about starting a guy on second base. And then, you know, umpire reviews, that they've all kind of worked, haven't they? In some way, shape, or form, you might not agree with all of them. We don't like the guy on second base. But I got to give him credit. I haven't seen major changes to the game that I love. And I give him credit for that. And in fact, any change might be even for the better because maybe it has expedited things a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with it. I think that I thought the limiting the shift was great. I really like that. I do like the pitch clock an awful lot. I am going to reserve judgment for maybe a decade until we see if and how much of an effect it has on the health of pitchers moving forward. I mean, I would think with zero knowledge that, you know, if you're asking guys to be able to throw that quickly, that it might have some impact on the body. I don't know. That's the only thing that worries me. But it has changed the tempo of the sport. It has made it much more enjoyable of when you're at a game, when you're just watching it on TV. It's quick. The pace is better. And I do like a lot of the rules that have been implemented. I'll be curious to see where the ABS system goes in. The reason we're not going to see it next year is because it's the players who said after the experiment with 2025, we're not yet comfortable having it in 2026. They experimented with it in spring training, obviously.
Because they trust the umpire more or because they just don't think the computer will get it right?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit worried on how the whole system will work. I haven't talked to enough guys about guys who didn't like it. I haven't run into those guys. I mean, I haven't made it a point yet. I do have to start talking to them as to why or why not they would be in favor of it. So I'll be able to answer that at another point.
Chris, would you be opposed to putting the ghost runner out there in like the 11th or 12th inning? That's what we think. Like, just play two more innings the way you're supposed to play the game and then maybe add a ghost runner.
Yeah, I understand that, too. I mean, at the end of the day, it is the wear and tear I think they are trying to eliminate to some degree. I mean, you know, the bullpens just get run down, guys. They just do. I mean, and we're in June, and guys are dropping left and right, and it's really, really bad. And so do we really want to, you know, there were a bunch of games that ended last night in the 10th inning because of the extra runner. So I'm not against that. I'm just not.
I've always wondered about roster expansion a little bit more than 26 men. Obviously, they added one more, but if you can do that, Chris, and limit the bullpen, you probably don't need that moving forward.
Yeah, you know what that means? That means that each owner is going to pay an additional $1.5 million minimum. And that's not going to happen. So let's just move on. We'll move on to the next topic.
Yes.
We know that ain't happening.
With that in mind, Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post, national baseball writer, was with us. And we touched on revenue sharing and the haves and the have-nots and a bunch of teams that are really having rough seasons this year. And I said, you know, we're in Cleveland. We were used to rough seasons back in the day. But our team has been able to overcome a lot of that despite financial situations. But she said when you're having one team set a new loss record and then the next year maybe another team setting a new loss record, it might be something that needs to be looked at. Do you see any major change anytime soon when it comes to how Major League Baseball teams divvy up their revenues in a more similar way to maybe to the NFL, which, of course, has thrived in such a situation?
Yeah, but they can't do that because, you know, a Packers, let's say a Packers-Bucks game, which isn't two of the largest media markets, could be on Sunday Night Football and be the biggest game of the week. But you can't put the Rays and Brewers on Sunday Night Baseball and have it get anything. You just can't. It's never going to happen.
Not now. And it's funny you say that because I said the same thing, except I said Packers and Jags.
Yeah. It's the same point, right? Yeah, well, we think alike. That's bad news for
us.
That's really bad
for one of us.
No, it's bad
for
me.
Or maybe both of us.
Or me. Bad for both of
us. Or you.
Or
yeah.
Him, yeah.
So I don't know exactly what to tell you. It's just that I don't foresee that happening. I'll be very curious at the end of 2026 when this collective bargaining agreement is up. I fear, I've been told, hey, just calm down, take a deep breath. It'll all be okay. The game's too healthy, which it is. I mean, you know, the television numbers are up. The attendance has been good the last couple of years. I do like the rule changes that we just talked about at the beginning of this interview. Like, I think there's a lot of good in the sport. You can't compare it to the NFL. I mean, that's just utterly preposterous. The NFL is so far ahead of every other sport. It is lapping every other sport. And then college football is probably next. And then after that, everybody else has just kind of got to stay in their lane a little bit and not deal with comparisons and, well, that sport does it this way. It's just not going to work.
Chris, give me the latest on your thoughts on the Guardian. Shane Bieber could be here right around the corner. Tough game last night against the Yankees.
Yeah, the challenge for the Guardians is when they play really good teams, they have to play so many aspects of the game perfectly, meaning that when they do hit the ball, they've got to bust ass out of the box. And when they don't, and it costs themselves an out on the bases, that is significantly larger for the Cleveland Guardians than it is for the New York Yankees. And I think we all know what play I'm talking about from last night. You know, he does a great job hitting the ball. Arias does not bust it out of the gate. And then he decides to try for second, and he gets thrown out. So instead of first and third, it's one out. It's runner at third and two outs. And now you're asking a team that is run scoring deficient to get a clutch hit. And it doesn't happen. Like, to me, it's those little things. Like, he does such a great job putting together a good at bat, smoking one to right center, and then he doesn't bust it out of the gate. Like, that's something, to me, that's something where teammates got to say something. That can't come from a coaching staff. That's got to come from a teammate. Be like, bro, we need better. We need better. We need to be better in so many aspects. We can't have mental lapses on defense, which I saw in the beginning of the year. We've cut down on it better. We're just not good enough to be deficient in areas where we know that we can control things. Because the lineup stinks. It just does. And the starting pitching is so-so at best for now.
The gentleman you were talking about, and Chris Rose joining us, by the way, Gabe Arias has dropped his batting average every month so far this season. So even though he had the great start, okay, he's sliding a little bit. Brian Rocchio seems to be finding his swing in Columbus a little bit, doing okay. When one guy warms up, Nolan Jones, a little bit, Arias is not warming up. If this team can get a couple of guys hot at the same time, Chris, maybe this offense changes. But as you just said, man, you're looking at Jose, you're looking at Stephen Kwan, and then you're keeping your fingers crossed. How right. can they change that without changing big trades, personnel, somebody unbelievably ready to come up from the minors? I just don't know if it's possible with this group of guys.
It can't. I mean, it's just you're dealing with the guys that you have here. I mean, I actually on Baseball Today, we talked about the San Francisco Giants, who for 16 straight games have not scored more than 4 runs. Wow. 16 straight, and they're a team that does spend money. They spent $182 million on Willy Adames to come in, and he's been horrible. You know, Jung-Hoo Lee, they spent 9 figures on him to go play center field. So it happens with teams that even do spend money. We don't. We don't. You know, we gave Jose his contract, and everybody else is on their rookie deal. In our everyday lineup, everybody else is on their rookie deal or on a one-year contract. We talked about that last week, guys. It's just, if that's the way you're going to build your roster, then these are the pains you have to go through. And some guys will make it. You know, we're hoping that Manzardo will do it. Nolan Jones, over the last several weeks, has been much better. His at-bats have been excellent, in my opinion. And you just hope that at some point, like, those loud outs carry over the wall. You know, I mean, it feels like that guy should have at least 10 homers by now, but he just doesn't. You know, I'm checking out what C.J. Cephas does every day in the minors. I'm thinking to myself, well, is he going to be our starting first baseman next year? Like, that's what my life has been relegated to. I watch the Guardians. I root with all of my might, but I know that we're deficient. And doesn't mean they can't make the playoffs. They can, because the American League's not great, but they're going to have to wow us for like a 6-week stretch offensively that would surprise us.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
your
time.
You got it, boys. Take care.
Nice job yesterday. Picked up the win. What, his third win of the season? Is that right? No, he's got more than that. Third win.
He's 3-6.
Yeah, 3-6. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just, I look at this from last night, and I'm like, nice job bouncing back. They played good defense last night, too. That did not hurt him. And they got timely hitting. I mean, they got...
Timely.
They got hits.
I always love that. Timely hitting.
Well, it was early. You know, they came out, they jumped out, they were super aggressive.
2-0
I love
after
the way
two batters,
play.
Baby.
If you got to feel good about that, don't you?
It's your guy, NL Martinez.
That's what I said. What were your thoughts on last night's game?
It's games like that that make me think, and this is why, despite when you look at the roster and you think, all right, who's gonna drive in runs? And you look at the rotation and you think, well, there's some question marks there. It's games like last night that make you think, yeah, but they figure out how to win some baseball games that maybe you think they're going to have a hard time winning. You go to New York, you have Luis Ortiz on the mound, and he does a terrific job, and they win the baseball game. And, you know, Andy, I mentioned Ortiz, and I wouldn't call it inconsistency. I think he's just kind of trying to lock in a little bit. And I think he's done a good job of that. You know, in the month of May, including last night's start, earned runs given up in his last games, 0, 1, 3, 2, 1, 5, going back to his first start in May. And he's had just a couple of games where he's given up bigger numbers in earned runs. And I look at Ortiz and I think you've answered a question as to one of your starting rotation members, for sure. And I though they were, you know, banking on him at the beginning of the year, you weren't quite sure. I think they got to be sure, don't you? I mean,
yeah,
give him the ball. Let's go. Every fifth day, I want him out there.
I you know, so they lose Lively, but, you know, Bieber is on the horizon.
But you don't know exactly what Shane Bieber is going to be when he comes back. Well, and that's just being fair.
Okay.
You know, he's throwing the ball really well. He threw it in Arizona really well.
You're putting him back in the rotation. You're not starting him in the bullpen, though.
If he's ready to go, he definitely is in the rotation. But you just have to watch it. I mean, Ben Lively just had a surgery. He's out 12 to 18 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a, hey, I pulled an oblique, I'm going to sit for 8 weeks and I'm good to go. You know, you're taking ligaments out of a cadaver or your own leg and putting them in your elbow. Nothing minor about that.
Nope. So look at the rotation. We got Bibee, Williams, Ortiz.
And then you're, you would think
there's Bieber, three,
right? And then it's Slade Ciccone or Logan Allen.
And what do two of those guys have in common? Ortiz and Ciccone, guys who came to Cleveland in trades last offseason that made us say, really? That's the deal, huh? Because, you know, connect the dots, Andrés Giménez for Luis Ortiz, Josh Naylor for Slade Ciccone. But this organization has always done a really good job of pinpointing talent in other organizations and going and picking it up before it really pops. Corey Kluber, perfect example. Mike Clevinger was a good example. You know, when Mike came over from the Padres.
I think they do a great job.
Obviously. Excuse me, the Angels. He was with the Angels.
When they
ended up being traded to the Padres.
I mean, they've done a nice job of being able to finding reclamation projects, guys looking to turn their career back around when they got hurt. Like, if Lively wasn't here and he was on another team and maybe another team gave up on him and he sat out for a year, year and a half, and then you needed somebody late in the season, you know, that's the kind of guy the Guardians love to bring back in and give an opportunity to and, you know, give them the chance to play. So, there's no way they're walking away from Lively, but you would hope they wouldn't.
Well, I would think they give him every opportunity to rehab here. And
right.
The only question is, you know, you agreed to a contract with Shane Bieber. Well, Shane had won a Cy Young for you, you know, and you gave him the opportunity to rehab and come back. Will they do that with Lively, you know, and figure things out and make it? I hope so. You know, I think he's earned that. But you're also not going to, you know, break the bank for a guy who's not going to pitch next year, in all likelihood.
No, but so... Look at this rotation then, Jeff, and tell me how this thing plays out and how we don't walk away. I don't want to say they have an abundance of pitching if Bieber comes back, but man,
don't
I feel
Joey Cantillo is down.
Oh, that's true. Cantillo too. Yeah. And so you look at that rotation and say to yourself, huh, we might, I don't want to jinx this thing, but they might be in good shape and maybe have a little too much. I don't want to say that. I know. I don't want to say that.
What do you mean too much? Too much pitching?
Starting pitching.
Dan, too much pitching. Go
never
ahead.
Never is impossible.
Respond.
There is no such thing. There never has been such thing. There never will be such thing.
Oh, there you go,
it's
Andy.
Too much starting pitching.
There
emotional.
You go.
Too emotional. I look at this and I'm like, okay, I feel good. Like last night's game, I don't know why, but last night's game, it was just kind of a refresher for me too. Like refreshing as far as, you know, you let a game slip away against the Yankees the night before that probably I would believe you thought you could win. And now you walk into a chance you can win the season series today. And so I don't know. I know don't play the Yankees up bigger than you should, but I don't know. There's something about the confidence of being able to beat New York and then beat them in New York.
In New York, it's
and
when you beat a good team, it's a good win. It's a good win. It's a good series. If you can take two out of three from the Yankees, that's terrific. I mean, and it does say something about your team. I don't think there's any question about that. It says something about your team.
The other thing is, go ahead, sir.
Well, I keep looking at the pitching and thinking, Ortiz, you went out and specifically acquired him. You know, Ciccone, he's looked good in a couple of starts. You went out and specifically, he's what you got back for Josh Naylor, 30 and 100 RBIs. Yeah,
so he's not like a reclamation project. Oh, he's no, a
these,
guy that you brought in for talent.
These are two young guys who you think that could do something. And I mentioned Corey Kluber. Remember when they brought in Kluber? They got him from San Diego for like nothing. And it worked. This organization finds these guys, they scout them out, and it works out, you know? They traded out Jake Westbrook in that deal. And Jake was a heck of a pitcher. But Corey was kind of like, who? What's in this deal? Really?
Dan, what are your thoughts on this rotation and this whole notion of what we're talking about?
There's no such thing as too much starting pitching.
I caught that the first time you said it.
I know, but it needs to be hammered home one more time. And if you need a reason for it, go look at the Los Angeles Dodgers rotation.
Yeah.
The team that everybody went, oh my God, who's going to stop this pitching? Well, they're all hurt. Everybody but Yamamoto and Kershaw are hurt right now. So that's the way that this goes. I think the rotation is in a decent place. It's having Bybee not be totally nails, I think, puts you in a really interesting spot because you don't have a definitive, I hand this guy the ball and here comes seven innings of, you know, give my bullpen a little bit of time off. But I think it's in a place where the arrow is pointing up. And I think that's where you always want to be, is it a place where the arrow is pointing up. So until Bieber is standing on a mound 60 feet, 6 inches on the corner of Carnegie in Ontario, he doesn't exist to me.
So how does it play out?
That's true. That you hate to say that. There are always setbacks in these things, or can be setbacks. They did a great job last year with Boyd. And, you know, he came in recovering from Tommy John. They continued, you know, they signed him, continued his recovery, and then put him on the mound when he was ready to go. And when he was good to go, he was good. That's why they'll be really cautious with Shane Bieber starting tomorrow in Akron.
How cautious, though?
Well, if he's not good to go, he's not good to go. It's that simple, Andy. Unless they decide, hey, he's pitched enough rehab, complete health, he feels great, there he goes.
And guys coming back from Tommy John don't typically look like the same guy that they were before.
Takes a little while.
Right away.
Right.
Takes a little while.
Yeah, like the Matthew Boyd thing is very few and far between. You know, you don't get these guys who step on a mound and all of a sudden look like the way they used to. Or frankly, for Boyd's case,
he might have looked better. Yeah.
Yeah, look better in his regard. But like, I don't expect Shane Bieber to take the ball and look like the guy who has a Cy Young Award in his trophy case this season. Next season, different conversation.
And the hope is that he's here next season.
Yeah, if you think about it, right, aren't we kind of happy that he's even here? I mean, he's hurt and trying to come back, but, I mean, there was a point last year where you're like, oh, we got to trade him. We're not going to get anything.
It was a smart move. I'll say it was a smart move for the Guardians to, you know, sign him and bring him back and allow him to rehab here and find his way again. I would wager to say it was an even smarter move for Bieber to come back here. Why go to an organization you're not comfortable with, that you don't know, with people you don't know, to guide you through the most critical moment of your career? I think Bieber made an even smarter move than the Guardians by coming back here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he trusts these people, they know him, and he knew that they would treat him right. And that they would, at the very least, have an interest in him and have his best interest at heart, because he had been here before, he was their guy, and they would love to keep him long term.
So if you could set up, let's just say, I hate doing this so early, but set your rotation for maximum capacity right now for a five-man rotation.
For when? For this season?
As of right now, if you could go through the rest of the season and go five guys every fifth day and not have to deal with injuries, let's be honest. You know, here I am sitting.
So in other words, am I allowed to count Bieber or not?
Yeah, no, count him in. I put him in.
You would put him in. It would be Gavin Williams. Not, this is no particular order.
Well, I wanted the order too, but that's okay. Oh. Go give me the five
again. Tanner Bybee then.
Okay.
Gavin Williams.
Yep.
If we're going to put these guys in order. Luis Ortiz.
Yep.
Would be my number three. If Shane Bieber is good to go, Shane Bieber would be my four. And then it's a fight. Slade Ciccone, Logan Allen, Joey Cantillo. Which guy's pitching the best? He'd be my fifth starter.
Pick one.
Joey Cantillo.
Hmm. Dan, same question.
Bybee, Williams, Ortiz. I need to see Bieber throw before I put him there.
No, Andy said you're not allowed to do that.
No, you're,
Andy said he's healthy.
Assume that he can give you five innings of good, solid, rock solid baseball.
Well, in hell, he's probably third, and I might even start him in game one. If you could tell me I got five innings of solid ball out of him, that feels pretty good for game one to me.
Dan's counting playoffs. Look at that.
I know.
Dan's looking ahead, baby.
I mean, we're in, you know, everybody's making the playoffs anyway. Why wouldn't the Guardians? So.
Wow.
They're in right now, aren't they? I looked yesterday. They would have been in. I'm the only guy looking at wild card in
had to take a shot.
The beginning of June, but that's okay.
So he's probably four, and then maybe I'd throw your boy Slade in there just for fun.
I like Slade, so we're good to go. I've already given him a spot. I might give him the three spot
Andy
by the end of the season.
Slade Ciccone.
He may be
guys who throw 97.
Yes, he might be your game two starter of the playoffs if this thing works out the way I want it to. How about the offense jumping back into this thing last night? You do your rotation if you want to. Bring it on in. 216-474-0092. Talk a little bit more about the offense.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.